This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Though schools and daycares have been allowed to reopen under Phase 4 of the governor's COVID reaction plan, there are still some kinds of classes that remain frozen in place, and those are the ones that happen at dance academies. They are still under a state-mandated lockdown. Susan Bird, the director of Living Arts Dance Studio, with locations in Williamston and Mason, has made some outdoor instruction work this summer, but with fall just around the corner, she's trying to get her students back inside, and we're going to talk to her today about how she thinks they might do so. Susan Bird, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
So your studios teach a whole variety of classes for a whole variety of ages, everything from more freeform creative movement to jazz and tap and Broadway-style dancing. How's your studio been holding up since the pandemic got started?
Just barely. It's been a really difficult time. When the pandemic started, we saw that it was trending across the country, and I'm a member of a dance teacher Facebook page that has members actually internationally. And so we knew it was going to happen. So we planned ahead for when it did happen, and we just went into action. So, of course, we did lose students right away, and then our enrollment dropped. And then as summer approaches and we were not able to do a spring recital, we always normally lose more enrollment in the summer. So we've had some camps and we've had them outside and we've had pretty good attendance, but then, you know, you're dealing with, it's really hot right now and It's hard to keep kids engaged. So yeah, our fall session is right around the corner. We're enrolling new students, but people are just not sure, you know, they're afraid. But as far as the people that have enrolled, 99% of those parents want their kids back in the studio.
You know, the thing that strikes me about this, and I'm sure this is true for people who have kids involved in sports too, is this is a time when kids desperately need some physical outlet, and yet
oh, for sure,
they can't really do it.
That's correct. I'm hearing it from parents, and it's just a really difficult time for everybody. We're all going through this. But when I do see kids, you know, outside in the park and they're dancing, and I'm just watching the expressions on their face and the movement through their bodies and how it's so healing and beneficial for them. I mean, from head to toe and from body to soul, it's just one of those things that people need. Dance makes you happy.
Have you been able to get any financial aid?
We received a small stimulus check of $1,000, which covered like, you know, a third of our rent for 1 month.
Oh, wow.
So that was it. And yeah, I've got some grant applications out, but haven't heard anything. So we're such a small business. We have, you know, very little payroll. We have a few instructors. So it's just, you know, just keep our fingers crossed and hope that we get some help.
Did I hear you say that some parents are anxious to get their kids back in a studio environment?
Yes. Parents are just like, we're waiting for you to open up. I'm not going to sign my kid up until we know you're going to have in-studio classes. And the people who have registered so far, 99% of those parents want their kids to take in-studio classes. At this point, if we can't, we will offer Zoom classes, but we did a poll and only 7% of parents wanted their kids to take a Zoom class. So that makes us difficult to move forward with a class schedule.
Do you think it's safe to teach in a studio?
I know it's safe to teach in the studio. I've talked to other instructors across the country who have already opened. Many studios have been open since May, even in Florida, and they're doing it. We have a safety plan in action. We know that we can make it happen safely. These other studios have had, many of them have had no cases, and some of them I have talked to had maybe one or two cases, but they weren't from the studio. They were from, you know, another family member who contracted it another way. So we know that we can have safe classes. We can socially distance. We're dancers. We're good at spacing people out, and we're planning on wearing masks, cleaning in between classes. We have 10 minutes between classes scheduled for when we can go in the studio. We have one class exiting and entering from one doorway, while another one exits and enters from a different doorway. So we can control that. There's just so much that we can do when we get a chance.
Are you worried about having to close the studio permanently?
For sure. I mean, at this point, it's a matter of how long do I teach for free and just cover the bills. Dance is my passion. And I think if you talk to a lot of studio owners, they do it because they love it. I mean, we work very hard for what we do. We love our kids, and I will hold on for as long as I can. But it is a scary thought.
For sure. You know, when you describe the methods that you are ready and willing to take to make this work safely in a studio mm-hmm. environment, you know, the masking, the physical distance, I wonder, you know, having mm-hmm. that kind of space and having the mask, from a dancer's point of view, is this really the dance that they will get some meaning out of?
Oh, for sure. I mean, no matter what we have to do, we will get meaning out of dance. We could just, you know, for little kids, just tell them it's part of a costume. I mean, there's ways of making this fun. There's ways of working through it. And I mean, it's just something that we have to do right now. And I know that the benefits way outweigh the, you know, putting a mask on or over your face. And I know that we can modify movement so it's not difficult for kids. I mean, we're obviously not going to be doing a lot of, you know, interactive movement because we can't right now. So that's just part of the stuff that you just choreograph in. It's just part of something that dancers just automatically and naturally do.
What would you say is getting you through this right now?
My love for dance, the response that I have received from very supportive parents and from students, some thank you cards and words of encouragement, help, and encouraging family. So I've got a wonderful husband and two kids that are watching me work my butt off. And so it helps.
Are there ways in which this new paradigm has made an imprint on your feelings about choreography? I don't know if choreography involving partnering was a big part of your practice to begin with, but have you just been thinking in different ways about how solo work happens or, you know, just what's possible within the constraints that you're working in?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it was one of the first things that was on my mind because when COVID hit, we still had a competition team that was scheduled to still go to competitions. And one of the dances we have like props and there's parts where they're passing the props to each other. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know. We can't do that. And it ended up where the competitions did get postponed for this coming season. So we didn't have to deal with it, but it is something where I'm looking ahead and going, okay, I'm definitely going to change my choreography and we can still do very meaningful pieces just in a different way. This is our new normal. And there's parts of that I would really like to memorialize because this is something that we're going through and for people to dance through it will be helpful.
What do you mean when you think about how this moment can be memorialized?
Well, when we were not able to do an in-person dance recital, we decided to do a virtual recital. And that was part of like how I wanted to memorialize this. So we had kids send in video footage of them in their dance recital costumes, doing the dances, as well as some still photos. And then in between dances, we did clips of everything that we have gone through. And then we've also done, we did clips of Zoom videos. We did a production number that was actually a Zoom production number. So we used the Zoom boxes as part of the choreography. So all of that stuff is just ways of using what we've gone through and remembering it. So the video that we put together is amazing. And the parents were like, wow. So it is a really nice keepsake to see what we have gone through and for people to go back and go, yeah, this is what it was like.
Would you say that your own dance practice has been very grounded in dancing with others?
Yes, for sure. I mean, dance is social. I mean, when you think about good times, I mean, it's dancing at weddings. It's being together and dancing. It's TikToks. I mean, TikToks are so popular with kids right now. And dance is a very social event. And yet, of course, it's way more fun to do it with people.
Right. Well, Susan, thank you so much for talking to us about this and good luck this fall.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Susan Bird is director of Living Arts Dance Studio in Williamston and in Mason. Physical contact is not to everyone's taste, even healthy years, but for many people, the healing power of touch is absolutely essential to both physical and mental well-being. Some businesses in Michigan have reopened back in June, but for others, day-to-day life is still anything but normal. We wanted to talk to a massage therapist about how things are going in that line of work. And Heidi Johnson is on the line with us now. She's the owner of Thrive Massage and Body Work in Ann Arbor. Heidi Johnson, welcome to Stateside.
Hi, April.
Well, like a number of other services, you were completely shut down for 3 months in the springtime. And so I guess that means you've been back open now for 9 weeks. How's it going?
You know, it's going well, exactly. I mean, for starters, we were closed for 3 full months per Governor Whitmer's executive orders, March 15th to June 15th. And I knew early on during the lockdown that really in order to safely reopen Thrive, I would have to overcome some obstacles. You know, given the nature of massage therapy, you have 2 people in close proximity for an extended period of time and we're indoors. So with that in mind, I mean, I was like, how does one create an environment that is as safe as possible and relaxing to promote the full relaxation experience? So, you know, I spent most of the month of May really researching industry safety standards and absolutely like visualizing every detail of my interaction with clients so that I could really have a smooth, seamless process.
So what are the protocols that you've put in place? How are you going about your work right now?
That involved some basic business changes as well as back to practice safety guidelines. So pre-pandemic, I had about 4 staff members plus myself with capacity to see maybe 10 to 15 clients total per day. And as of today at Thrive, we're only partially open. So my staff has not returned yet. I'm limiting my daily clients to 2 or 3. And these are mostly regular clients that I've been seeing, you know, pre-pandemic. And we've reported no illnesses. So, you know, really looking at limiting sessions to 60 minutes or less. My online booking schedule is closed off. We've modified our cancellation policy with no fees for cancellations at the last minute. And a lot of COVID safety guidelines. So I do an intensive pre-session screening phone call the day before the clients come in. Of course, when they arrive, we have temperature taking, more symptom review, intense office disinfecting, safety during the session, limiting table talk, and my preparedness, changing my mask between clients, changing my apron, you know, wiping down my face shield. Everything in the office is put through a thorough disinfecting protocol between clients, and it takes a while. So I've had to build in more time between clients as well. And then we do a post-session follow-up within a week after seeing the people. You know, I send out this post-session check-in to make sure symptoms are okay and for feedback to see how their experience was.
So you mentioned that you have not reported any cases associated with the practice at this point. Have you been tested?
I had the antibody test back in June, and I had a pretty in-depth talk with my primary care physician about this. And what I'm aware of in this area is testing for asymptomatic folks is taking maybe 10 days to 2 weeks. So I'm not sure that me getting tested would be, you know, something that would prove to be helpful each day when I'm seeing clients, because the turnaround time on the testing results is up to 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But with the antibody test, I did come back negative with that.
Right.
So I have not been exposed to the virus at this point.
I mean, do you wish that there were more tests available so that you could be on this a little bit more?
Yeah, I feel that there are tests available. I just don't think that they're prioritizing patients who are coming in that have no symptoms. And as far as I know, I haven't been exposed, so I have no risk of exposure as far as I know. And so, you know, they do a lot of pre-screening before people come in to find out exactly what their concerns are. Yes, I do wish the turnaround time was quicker on that, because I would get tested, you know, every 7 to 14 days if that were the case.
Heidi, when the governor issued her executive order and then it changed in June and there was this period of reopening, did you ever consider maybe staying closed, either out of concern for your own health or because you weren't sure if the client base would come back?
I definitely was on the fence about reopening. And I'll tell you what's interesting about that is, of course, the numbers were much lower in mid-June. So I felt that that was the best time to open on one level, but I also didn't want to rush it. The other thing that I had to take into consideration is the PPP loan. The complicated nature of that and those rules continue to change. And at that point, back in June, I had 8 weeks to use a small amount of money that I got from the PPP loans. And I wanted to build revenue, which is one of the ways you can get the loan forgiven.
We tend to think of massage therapy as something that is a luxury or sort of like a spa treatment. But there are sometimes medical reasons for it with respect to like sports medicine or people who are recovering from some kind of surgical experience. What would you say you're seeing in terms of need and demand for services right now?
Yeah, what I'm noticing is that this pandemic has been taking its toll on people. It's mentally exhausting. It's anxiety provoking. And then we think about people who actually live alone and they're really touch starved. And so some people are just feeling like, what a relief to actually come in and receive a massage. And then, of course, I do have people who, you know, had to postpone hip replacements or knee replacements. And, you know, they were able to have that service this summer, and I won't be able to see them until probably September or October. So I do have people who are, you know, not only recovering from some recent surgeries, but also ongoing chronic pain, some new acute pain that has surfaced. So it's a variety of things. But really, I just want to point out that, you know, just the toll that this is taking on people mentally and emotionally. I'm hearing that and having them come in for massage, they're just so appreciative that we've opened back up.
Heidi, people walk into a massage therapist's workspace looking for a sense of relaxation. Mm-hmm. The lighting is usually dim. There's usually some soft music or, you know, nature sounds or something being played. Sometimes there are, you know, essential oil scents all throughout the air, and everything is just designed to be calming. Do you find you can truly be as calm as people need you to be right now?
That is the delicate balance right now in the face of a pandemic, that I'm open and able to create this environment for clients. You know, really, it starts with me. It starts with each massage therapist finding, you know, that calm space, feeling like they're making the right decision to return to work, that they can offer relaxation to their clients. And that the office, even though my office is really bare bones right now, I've removed a lot of the comfortable, cozy items due to the business changes I've made. You know, we're still able to have a very quiet, inviting space, which I'm very proud of. And when I'm about to touch somebody's body, I feel this sense of relaxation and just joy that I can actually be there as safe as possible and provide them with this amazing touch.
Well, Heidi Johnson, I want to thank you so much for talking to us, and we hope you're able to keep going with business through the fall and winter.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you, April. It was a real pleasure speaking with you today.
Heidi Johnson is the owner of Thrive Massage and Bodywork in Ann Arbor.